Our sins, they are many. Your promise still stands. Great is your faith. sorrow be wrought. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait, 'cause Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood. Oh, come to the altar.
the sun shaping the shadow. In my weakness, your glory appears. I'm not enough unless you come.
Sanctuary. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us today. Just worship God right where you are. God, we give you praise today, Lord, for who you are. You are steadfast, Lord. You are faithful, God. Hallelujah. We give you praise today for answering prayer, God, for hearing the cries of your people, Lord. For hearing the cries of your people. We thank you, God, for touching people's lives and raising them up. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for keeping your hands on Barron today, God, and raising him up, God. Thank you for every day's a good day. Every passing day's a good day. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for keeping your hands on Christy King, God. bringing her through a heart attack and strokes this week, Lord. Today she's walking. Today she's moving. Today she's giving thanks and praise to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for touching your people, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just worship him for a moment. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Life is not my home. To you I belong. I give myself away. Hallelujah. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. Come on, sing it again. My life. Oh, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Hallelujah.
I give myself to you. I give myself.
Fresh and a new God.
I give myself away. So you and you. Give myself away. Oh, give myself away.
Lord, praise today. Hallelujah. I give myself to you, God, afresh and anew right here today in Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let me just share with you. I was a busy, busy week. A lot of people having challenges and issues. And, you know, though COVID has changed, hospitals are opening up, letting pastors back in. And I was able to go this week not expecting to see what I saw, but Christy King, who was just here a couple Sundays ago, and she had a major heart attack. And when I went in to visit her, it was a little devastating because I wasn't used to seeing her that way. Her right side was not usable. Her arm was just there. She couldn't interact with me. She couldn't talk. She was just laying there. And she had been on a ventilator. And they said, her husband said, you know, she's had a major heart attack. She's had two strokes. And he said, Pastor, it's just not looking good. And he was very emotional. And then to hear the report from him early this morning, he texted me. And he said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. Christy's walking the halls. She's using her body. Hallelujah. She's talking. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody say, turn it around, Lord. Turn it around. Hallelujah. And I know it's not a fast thing, but just to see the progression every day with Baron, to hear the family's report that today was a good day. Today was a good day. Baron's, you know, receiving his nutrition into his stomach and his bodily functions are taking place. And just to hear those good reports, you know, sometimes it's an event, it just happens, and sometimes it's just a process. Come on. But I believe, stretch your hand. Hey, let me just have a family member. Who's that back there? Woody? Woody, come on, man. Stand right here. Let's just anoint and pray for Woody today as he stands in for his brother. This family has watched, Brian, give me some oil there. This family has watched their loved one, man, just, you know, others have gone on, you know, and I can imagine what that's like as a family member saying, man, what's going to happen next here? But to hear the good reports every day that God is touching Baron and raising him up. There's a lot. Listen, he's not out of the woods yet, okay? But he's come a long, long way. Amen? He's come a long way. And so right now, Lord, we just anoint Woody today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, he stands in for his brother, Lord. He's proxy for Baron today. And God, all over this internet, Lord, we just petition the body of Christ to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your spirit, God, is just ministering to him right now. I pray, Lord, that this week, God, would be monumental. I just hear the Lord say, monumental today. God, strides, huge strides today. This week, God, move him forward. And Father, I pray that emotionally, God, you would prepare him. Lord, for the things that he faces, God. I pray that you would just minister to the family, God. They're weary, they're tired. God, I pray that you would touch Cindy and Chris today in Jesus' strong name. And Lord, encourage them, God. Your word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, God, we thank you for strength renewed today in that family in Jesus' name. And when it's all said and done, God, do a work, God. Do a work. May Jesus be exalted. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, Woody. Thank you. Give the Lord praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. You know what? I just wonder if there's anybody in the house this morning that you've got a testimony of something God's done that is amazing. You know, he's raising up stroke victims and heart attack victims, and God's hand is upon others as he's raised them up. Anybody got a testimony this morning? Just quickly, you could share. Just give us the Reader's Digest version. Anyone? Come on. Come on, Lewis. Let me bring this microphone to you. Lewis, a brand new grandpa, 5 pounds and 5 ounces. This is what you get with 5 pounds and 5 ounces, okay? I just want to let you know, okay? Just giving you a prep, all right?
Nothing wrong with that. Well, not everybody knows, but 5 weeks ago, I went home from here, and everything was good. I'll try to do it fast.
Sure, you're good.
My mom just happened to be over to the house with her. She was doing something for her. And I got up out of a chair and went to the bathroom and come back and felt really weird and stood up. And I said, well, let me go to the bedroom. And I walked back to the bedroom because I didn't want to scare them. And I got a tightness in my chest. And it started getting worse and worse and worse, and it wasn't going away. And then it went through my back, and it was so painful that I've never had that kind of pain before. It was broke. I've had broken bones and all that. It didn't matter. This stuff hurt. And I told them that I had to go to the doctor. Something had to happen. So what had happened is I'd had a heart attack, and they took me down here, and then they took me to Greenville. And this is, I got to tell this part.
You got the mic, man.
I know. But I had a doctor come in my room. I didn't get into the hospital till 3:30 in the morning. That was Monday morning. The doctor come into my room somewhere around, I don't know, close to lunch. They did an ultrasound thing on my heart. And then they took me down and did a catheterization. But before that, he gave me all the details of what he thought was going to be, what he thought was going to be the issue. He said, well, you know, I'm going to fix everything I find when I go in there that I can fix. So he was already setting me up for a failure, for something that I knew wasn't there. And she had prayed the whole time, and I was praying the whole time. And I didn't feel like it was there. You know, God was in control of it. I know that. But when he got in there, I was looking at it on the screen as he was doing it. All my arteries were clear. My heart was in good shape. It didn't damage anything. It was perfect. It was nothing wrong with it. They couldn't even find where the issue came from. The plaque that they said was there, they couldn't find where it came from. And he said, my system just dissolved it when it broke loose after it went through. So God is real, y'all. God is real.
Praise the Lord. He's a heart surgeon. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is just good. I wonder if there's any need for healing in the house today.
Personally, I'd like to hear this
praise
lady over here.
All right. I wonder if there's any need for healing in the house today. Why don't you just come? You can be seated, but if you need special prayer right now, just come for healing in your body. I just believe God's going to do that today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see you come in the west side today.
Yes. Y'all don't know me. I just come to visit y'all today. I was living in sin, y'all. I was living with my boyfriend. He put me out on the street. He said, I don't love you anymore. He said, pack your stuff, get out. So that's what I did. So I was homeless. And God brought me to a church. And they were nice enough to give me a voucher to stay at a hotel. And then I got in a program that they paid for my hotel for 2 months, y'all. And I was working, saving my money. God said, kept telling me, I'm not through with you. He got me out of that hotel room. I've got my own place. God is restoring my relationship with my daughter as we speak, getting us closer. Because I've been a single mom for 16 years, y'all. My daughter turned 16 years old. And I couldn't be more proud of her. And she told me, Mom, when I called her and I told her I was out of the hotel, she said, and I told her I had bought me a new car because I didn't have a car. I didn't have anything. But now I have a car, I have a place to live, and that's not it, the end of the road for me. I'm going to keep moving on.
Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. He will clothe the naked, feed the hungry. Come on, he'll feed the hungry, and he'll touch those who are sick today. Amen. Brother, what are we praying about today? All right, he's standing in for a friend today. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just trust you, God, in all things. You do all things well, Lord, and we acknowledge that you are God. You watch over us. You take care of us. Lord, you're concerned about our needs. You're concerned about our living, our transportation, our bodies. You're concerned about everything. You're concerned about restoring relationships. And so, God, as I pray for my brother today, Lord, we just anoint him today and believe you, God, that as he stands in for that one who needs a touch from you, that you'll just deliver, God, in the name of Jesus. Yes. You'll deliver in the name of Jesus today. We thank you for it, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Sheba Bakulasana. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good. Come on, don't stop praying, man. When you listen, God, I've seen amazing things, amazing testimonies we've heard from other ministries, friends of mine that are seeing God do incredible things in these days. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you and test you as though some strange thing were happening to you. But the Lord says, rejoice inasmuch as you're the partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And the Lord says, after you have suffered, yes, a while, some of you will suffer, says the Lord. Some of you will experience things that are hard, things that are difficult. But the Lord says to you this day, press on, because in me there is no failure. In me there is no failure, says the Lord. I fail not. My promises are yea and amen to those who believe. Exercise your faith. Stretch out and exercise your faith, says the Lord. Don't think it strange. Don't think it strange concerning fiery trials. But trust in me, for I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Well, we welcome you today to Carpenter Shop International Church. If it's your first time with us, please, at the end of the service, would you go by the table in the foyer there? We have a gift for you. We'd like to have a record of your visit. And if you're watching online, you're a guest today, just hit the comment section below and just let us know it's your first time tuning in. We appreciate you being with us today. It's time now to give unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Tithes and offerings. Thank you for your faithfulness, your faithful people, giving and missions and so many ways that God has used you to give. And so as Krista comes and ministers to us in song, we're going to allow you to come forward. If you need to give online, you know the deal. You have a website. We have a church app if you want to give that way. And or you can just use cash or a check. Amen. You spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. All right. Praise the Lord. Just letting you know that. Praise God. God bless you as you give.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Come on and worship together. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Your glory.
more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, 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 your presence, God. Oh, 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 of your presence, God. Oh, oh, oh. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Lord, come on, give me praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Reese is coming at this time to share with us a worship dance. Our young people have worked very, very hard, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to bless them after Reese dances today. What we did was we charted out a budget, and we decided what we needed for the kids to be effective and successful in this summer. They had kids camp, youth camp, they've had fine arts, and then turn around and have fine arts finales, which are in Orlando, Florida, starting next week. And their budget was $8,000, and together the young people have raised to this date $6,100. Amen. $6,100. They've done an incredible job. They've worked really hard. And Reese will be dancing in the fine arts coming up in Orlando in just a matter of days. And so just enjoy what she's going to present to you this morning as she ministers to the Lord. Reese, God bless you.
Lord, I offer up this rebel heart, so stubborn and so restless from the start. I don't wanna fight you anymore, so take this rebel heart and make it yours. Father, I no longer wanna run. You've broken my resistance with your love and drowned it underneath the crimson spill. So bend this rebel heart into your will. I give it over to you. Help me lay the renegade to rest. watch this rebel heart surrender all. I give it over to you. I give it over to you. Your love is like an arrow, straight and true. And now this rebel heart belongs to you. Oh, take my life and let it be yours. Oh, take my life and let it be yours. I give it all over.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reese, stay right here. Hey, Reese. Reese. Praise the Lord. These guys have worked so hard. I was thinking, I told them, I said, listen, in all of your fundraisers, they sent me a list of all of their fundraisers and the things that they were doing. And I said, save me for last, because whatever you got left, I'll help you on the 25th, and today's the what? 25th, okay? So we only have $1,900 left, and I was just thinking about it this morning. I thought, you know what? The easiest way is just to get 19 envelopes, put youth $100, and just ask 19 people to give $100. So as you stand saying, hey, Pastor, you can count on me for $100, Reese is going to bring you an envelope. And if you need more than one, just if you need to give 500, there you go. If you need to give 500, just take five envelopes, okay? But we're going to grab this 1900 right quick, all right? Aren't we? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give Reese a hand, would you? $1,900. Come on. Stand up. There you go. Stand up. There you go. There you go, one by one, $100. Listen, how many of you have never given $100? Come on, try it. How about when God says give $1,000, you know? You can do it. You can do it. So $100 people are standing up. Maybe somebody wants to give more than that. Maybe you can't give it today, but you'll put it in there and get it back within a few days. Take the envelope, all right? We trust you, all right? We know where you live. Come on. Amen. All right, we're going to get rid of it. $1,900. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor's got auction skills. Amen. Hey, but if I, a little bit, a bit of five. Five now, seven and a half now, $10 bill. Could make a living that way, I guess, right? But we're going to do it. We're going to raise the money right here. She don't have much left. We'll just wait. Listen, I got patience. Praise the Lord. I told him I would do it. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Get rid of them envelopes. There you go. $100 at the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. That was easy, wasn't it? What you got left, Reese? One? Okay. That's fine. There you go. There's one right over here. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. If you want to give, just give it. And because we're actually, the youth have done so well, they're actually projecting and going ahead now and working on their budget for next year. And I just have to say accolades to Pastor Noli. He does an absolutely incredible job making sure that we are on task with our finances. Amen. I am just amazed a lot of times. I'm overwhelmed at his giftedness and communication with him on a regular basis all the time, and the things that he does to make sure Carpenter Shop is flowing in the right direction is just an incredible thing. Would you give an appreciation hand to Pastor Noli? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, take a look at this video right here.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
How many believe Jesus is coming again? Come on. Amen. He is. He is. That's an older rendition. There are several new ones out there, and upon my viewing of them, I didn't think that they were sanctuary worthy. Some of them are pretty tight. But I wanted to share with you just an idea of the reality. You know, they say, you know, he comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I read an article that said scientists say that the twinkling of an eye, hang on to this now, the twinkling of an eye, just a blink, is 1/1500th of a second. How do you figure that? I don't know. I don't know how they figure that, but 1/1500th of a second. God has called us, every one of us. He's called us to be people who are ready to meet the Lord. Anything could happen. Come on. We live in a world, you can see it all around you. Everything can be going in one direction, and all of a sudden it can change. In a moment, it can change. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. I'm reading from the King James for those of you who are over 60 and love the pastor. Come on. For emphasis here, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Where do they meet? Come on, in the clouds, okay? You know, a lot of people get confused here. They say, yeah, this is when Jesus comes back. No, it's not. He's not coming back then. The rapture of the church is not the coming of Christ, okay? Make sure you understand that. And he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The title of the message today is simply one word. It's ready. Ready. I love that final admonition in this apocalyptic message here. Verse 18 says, I've used this phrase so many times standing at funerals and preaching those final moments before we bury the dead. "This is not the end," I would say to the family. "Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." What kind of words? The words that tell us that the grave is not the end. This is a strong word in the original language, this word comfort. This word comfort is a strong word. It simply means to instruct, to entreat, but it also means this, to beg, to beseech. It also means to console, to encourage, and to strengthen. It's not to frighten you. I'm not preaching today on the readiness of God's people for eternity to scare anyone. That's not the purpose. It's not to scare. It's not to frighten. Now, today, I'm not trying to introduce fear to you about your spiritual condition or your future destiny. Rather, I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit here and to beg you, to beseech you, to instruct you, to make sure not only just you, but your family members. Not only just you and your family members, your loved ones, but your neighbors, your friends, those of you that work with other people. Do you ever even care about what their eternal destiny is? Do you work around people and do you ever inquire about their spiritual condition, or do you just, you know, take all their cussing and carousing all during the week and never call them into accountability for the life that they live? Do you just say, well, you know how he is? No. You know how he is, but how could he be, all right? How could he be? How many of you have lives that have been turned from darkness to light? I have. We were doing a little regressing back in the cafe this morning about the former days and the party days and those kinds of things. And I remember very well remember how I used to live, and I'm glad I don't live that way anymore. I like Paul's idea of trying to produce peace of mind here, peace in our souls. And if you look at Paul's admonition here, the Apostle Paul delineates for us. I like that word, delineate. Y'all ever use that word? You know what? I have a bad habit of going to the gas pump. And I don't know if you ever, you know, most of the time I try to be honorable to duck through and Jernigan Oil. But sometimes I can't be honorable to them and I have to buy from Speedway. And if you shop at a Speedway, sometimes they give you a brand new word while you're pumping gas. Ever notice that? Use those words. God's trying to teach you new words. And I remember, yeah, some of them, Joanne said, are that long. That's right. But I remember when I learned the word delineate. And so I've used it. What does it simply mean? List. Why don't you use list? Because I like delineate. All right. And so Paul here, he has given us this delineation here, this order of things, 1, 2, 3, okay? It means list. He says the trumpet of God sounds first. And in other words, the Father turns to the Son, and Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints, not literally on the right hand, that's a place of authority. But he's sitting there on the right hand of the Father in authority, and he says to them, go get them, go bring my children home. Remember what Jesus said when he was on this earth prior to his ascension, after he arose from the dead. He said in John 14, listen, you don't need to let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you, Jesus goes on to say. Not my peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Then he closes out that narration here. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The trumpet of God sounds, number one. Secondly, the dead in Christ, those who've died, who've accepted Jesus into their hearts, they raise up from the grave. And then thirdly, then we, which are alive, who have accepted Christ into our hearts, will be translated from earth to meet him. Here we go. In the air, in the atmosphere, okay? This is not Christ coming back. He doesn't come back to earth at this time. He comes to the atmosphere in the clouds, and we follow the dead who are ahead of us. There y'all are following dead people. Come on. The dead people who get up and go because they're not dead anymore. Amen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall be changed, all right? And God will change them. Christians meet in the air, the third thing. And the Bible says that Paul, after his delineation, after his listing here, he says, listen, I want to tell you something. Comfort ye one another. So shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. Paul's the one who told the church what? To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. What does that mean? I don't know. I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm looking forward to that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm destined to be with the Lord. I don't understand it all. I really don't. But I know that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from this body, this temple, is to be in his presence. You don't have to fear death. Amen? You don't have to fear the end of this world. You do not have to fear the finality of this life, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. He's the lily of every valley you will ever have to face. He's the fairest of 10,000 to your soul. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the bread of life. He's the cornerstone. My goodness, if you stay in the Gospels very long, you'll discover that he's the bread of life. He's the cornerstone. He's the deliverer. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the high priest. He's the I I am. He's the Emmanuel. He's the indescribable gift, Paul goes on to say. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Lamb of God and he's the light of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty one. He's the Redeemer, the risen Lord, the resurrection and the life. He's the Savior and the solid rock. He's the Word made flesh. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Come on, Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. You do not have to fear the end of this life. You can put your trust in the Lord. Amen? Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. It was the Apostle Paul speaking here to the believers at a church in Thessalonica. He also spoke to the church at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, again from the King James, he said, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? Changed. Yes, I believe in the rapture of the church. Amen? I still believe in the rapture of the church. The called out ones, the word there is the ecclesia. Those who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Friends, let me warn you, there are those who are walking away from biblical truth. People are walking away from good, old-fashioned biblical teaching. In fact, you know what I've discovered? This generation today don't know Bible stories. You talk to them about Noah and the ark, they don't know what you're talking about. You talk to young people today about Joseph and what a miserable life he had and how, you know, he had this vision that his brothers were going to bow down and give authority to him. They don't know anything about the coat of many colors. They don't know anything about any of those stories. So today we have a biblically illiterate generation of people to deal with. They don't know the stories. They really don't. But I still believe in the stories and I still believe in the truth of those stories. I still believe in the rapture of the church. There are those who say that there will be no rapture. In fact, there's a website. I've mentioned it to you before. You can go to it. www.rapturless, R-A-P-T-U-R-E-L-E-S-S, rapturless.com. You can get the book free. If you're teaching false doctrine, they'll usually give you the book, okay? Just download their PDF. You can print it out. It's multiple pages. I did it several years ago. Just wanted to see how stupid it was. He's the son of a born-again, spirit-filled evangelical preacher who went rebellious and wrote a book. Didn't believe everything his daddy told him. Rapturless.com. Matter of fact, there are groups that are meeting. There's a group that meets in Elizabeth City on Tuesday nights. The rapturalist group. They believe that there will be no rapture of the church, that this is something that is not going to take place. But let me tell you something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, this is what Paul says. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." Or the translation there is what? Uninformed. I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, uninformed, brethren, concerning those who are asleep or those who die, that you sorrow not, and not become a people who what? Who have no hope. He doesn't want his children to be ignorant. He doesn't want his children to be uninformed. He doesn't want you and I this morning to be worried. He wants us to have the peace that passes all understanding. Guard our hearts and our mind. Let me tell you something, man. This world is wicked. This world is wicked. And they're pumping and priming and pumping and priming. All they're doing it all over again. Guess what? We're heading for another journey down the COVID road. Oh, you got to stay away from the variant. They're pumping it and priming it just as fast as they can. It's going to be worse and worse than it was before. But you know what you got to have? You got to have faith. You got to have faith. I got a letter from a friend of mine just this past week. Pastor Wallace, I don't know if you've heard about it or not. Oh, here we go. But you need to prepare your church. I am. I'm preaching on the rapture, okay? But he was telling me, listen, in all sincerity, man, if you haven't gotten the vaccine, you better get that vaccine. Have you read about that vaccine? You read anything lately? You don't get this on the news, I promise you. But if you start reading about the vaccine and the realities of what is going on behind the scenes, and I'm not just a conspiracy theory junkie here. I don't fall and believe everything that comes through the system. But I don't trust those folks. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Well, have you got the vaccine yet? No. You going to get it? No. My answer is still no. I'm not getting it. Okay? Well, what if they make you? They're not going to make me. Well, it was real quiet on a Sunday morning in Carpenter Shop Church. And the pastor said they're not going to make him take the vaccine. I'm not going to take it. I don't criticize you if you did. I got great friends who ran fast to the line and got that shot. I'm not getting it. I'm not taking their shot. Okay? Well, that was what you said during COVID. We thought you'd come around. I'm not coming around. Okay? I'm not coming around. I'm not taking it. I'm just going to hold steady to what I feel the Holy Spirit has said to me, okay? I don't care what the CDC says. I don't care what Fauci says. I don't care what any of them say. I care what the Holy Ghost said to me. Don't take the shot, all right? So I'm not going to take it. Listen, you can listen to all the internet smack you want to about there's no rapture, there's, you know, it's not going to take place, or the rapture was supposed to take place at such and such a time and it didn't take place. Oh, back in 1981, it was supposed to take place again year before last. Everybody misses it. You know why they miss it? Because they don't know anything about it, okay? And they certainly don't know what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 24, verse 36, but about that day, come on, somebody say that day. About that day, about that hour, no one knows. You can't get any more plain than that. Nobody knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So you cannot put your trust in some man, some woman who will predict the day and the hour that Christ will return. Just be ready. Be ready at all times. Okay? The rapture is also seen in the Bible, also in our final book of Revelation. Our final book of Revelation is a book that was written by John the Beloved. He was exiled to a rocky little island called Patmos. I think I preached there Wednesday night before last in a place called Wan Chis. Come on, somebody. All the way down to the end, okay? At the jumping off point, okay? I said, man, this is down here, buddy. Okay? But he tells us there, he's in Patmos, and he was captured, and he was taken there and persecuted for preaching the gospel. Tradition tells us that this John the Apostle was boiled in a pot of oil. Do you know that boiling is 212 degrees? Boiling is 212 degrees. And tradition tells us in Fox's Book of Martyrs that John the Apostle was tossed into a pot of boiling oil. Okay? He survived that. Okay? In other words, the Lord had something great in mind for John the Apostle. He wanted to give him, help me here, I'm studying the Bible out loud, revelation. What is revelation? It is the pulling back of the curtain and letting God do what? Reveal, okay? Are y'all with me now? God is revealing to John on the island of Patmos in a time of great suffering, in a time of great challenge, in a time of great persecution. He's pulling the curtain back. Listen, sometimes when you're at your lowest, God is trying to speak to you in your life. He's trying to reveal himself to you in an amazing way. He's trying to pull the curtain back and let you see some things. And look at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8. It's the first time that the words of that book appear in red. Amen. That means Jesus is doing the talking here, and he's talking to John. And John sees the glorified Christ, and he says to him, I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus tells John to write this down. Write what down? The revealing, the revelation. And send it where? Send it to the seven churches. All right? Send it to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Revelation 1:19, this is what he says. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Three categories. Revelation is set up in such a manner that it is broken down into three categories. Remember what Jesus said to John? He said, the things which you have seen. John sees all kinds of things. In other words, John had a revelation of the glorified Christ. His hair is as white as wool. You've read it before. His feet are like burnished bronze. You see, Jesus wants John to give a fresh revelation. He wants him to receive a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, what Jesus is showing him. Secondly, he said, I want you to write down those things which are. In other words, a history of the church age. We'll get to that in a moment. Those seven churches that Jesus chose to show uniquely just how the church is going to deteriorate. Did you hear what I said? I said how the church is going to deteriorate. In other words, how the church is going to move away from the things of God and into a lukewarm state. If you study the book of Revelation and you study the seven churches, you will discover that by the time you get to the last church, the church has gone through much of a deterioration. So much so that Jesus said to this church, he said, you know what? You make me sick. You make me want to spit. You make me want to spew. You make me want to throw up. I wonder what God says about the church today. How does he feel about the church today and its effectiveness? He says, listen, you and I need to get ready the things which are to come after the church age. In other words, after the rapture has taken place. In other words, that which you presently see in this experience I've called you to, that which is now, and then thirdly, the things which shall take place afterwards or in the future. And you see continually the red letter words of Jesus. And he speaks to the churches of Asia Minor in chapters 2 and chapter 3. But then the transition comes when you get to chapter number 4. Revelation chapter 4 is John's picture. Here we go. Of the rapture of the church. Chapter 4, verse 1, this is what it says. After this I looked, and before me was a door standing open into heaven. And the voice I had heard first speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Friends, this is the real deal. God's word is true. You and I must be ready. We cannot be wasters of time, wasters of opportunity. We must live in such a manner that we're ready to meet the Lord at any time. Some don't get a chance, okay? Some don't get a chance at all. Their life is jerked from them just like that, and it's over with. So we must be ready. There is biblical protocol. There is divine protocol of the things that must take place on the earth. God has set it up. Some of you are not going to like this word, but listen, it's just a good word. God has set this world up in various dispensations. How many of y'all ever heard of a Scofield Study Bible? Anybody got one? I got one. Got one many, many years ago. Mr. Scofield was a strong, strong proponent of dispensationalism. While I have a hard time sometimes with some of those things, I can't swallow all of those things, hook, line, and sinker. I do believe that God has set up this world in several ages or dispensations, and it simply means dispensation, look it up. It just simply means a system of order. We live our lives focusing on working, playing, vacationing, getting married, having kids, having a good job, raising the children, having grandchildren, and just doing life. And we fail to recognize that God is a very detailed God who has created all of this, and he's in control, and he does have a stopwatch. Okay? There's going to be a moment in time when it's all going to be over with. He has an order. That's what I mean when I say that he has the world set up in various ages or dispensations. Right now, you and I are alive in the age of what? The age of grace. We are living now in the dispensation of grace. Let's go all the way back to the beginning when there was a dispensation of innocence. It is a dispensation of innocence. That was the creation of humanity in the Garden of Eden. Then it didn't last long. We don't know exactly how long, but it seems like a very short time. But then there was a dispensation of what? A dispensation of conscience. In other words, Adam is in the garden one day and he says, "Whoa, I'm naked." Wasn't an issue until what happened? Sin. When sin entered the world through Adam, the age of innocence was over with. Okay? No, nobody's guilty. Age of innocence, dispensation of innocence is over with. Then we move to the dispensation of conscience. Adam does what? He hides. Why is he hiding? It wasn't an issue before. He's hiding now because God has allowed this thing to shift from the age of innocence or the dispensation of innocence now into the dispensation of consciousness. He is conscious. He's very well aware that he had fallen. He had disappointed God. Then there's the dispensation of the law. Moses is the receiver of the law on Mount Sinai. You know the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The Ten Commandments. It's the law. Then there's the dispensation of the judges and the dispensation of the prophets, men like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Then there's the dispensation of famine. I'm not talking about a famine in the natural. I'm talking about a famine of what? His word, where there is a period of time for how many years? 300 years. It is called the intertestamental period when there was no word from God that was spoken. God was silent for 300 years. You have a New Testament that follows an Old Testament, and in between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, you have a quiet God who says nothing for 300 years. A famine in the land. It was prophesied. Minor prophets spoke about it. There's the dispensation of the famine. The dispensation of the forerunner. When a man comes on the scene by the name of who? John the Baptist. I'm giving you a quick history lesson on dispensationalism. John the Baptist. Behold, there's one who's coming who's mightier than I. I'm not worthy to even bend down and unloose his shoes. And he has a plan for you, John the Baptist says. Then there's the dispensation of the Messiah, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the dispensation of Calvary when we move into the church age. And then now we're in the dispensation of grace, where grace is available to all men. Those of you that are sitting here this morning, or those of you that are watching online, and you know because you know because you know that you have not got things in order in your house. There's a day of grace right now. Grace is still in operation. You can receive today the Savior into your heart, and He will receive you. This is the dispensation of grace. Amen? You're alive in the age of grace. But the Bible, Jesus talked about this. He said, man, as it was, you know, in the days of Noah, the Lord God's going to shut the door one day. And, you know, people live like that's not coming. People live like that's not an issue. That's not a thing. You know, it's not a thing with me. I'm just enjoying my life, and I know the world's changing. But we don't have a spiritual view of eternity. We really don't. We don't even think about it that much. Until I tell people all the time, every time I preach a funeral, I become a better Christian because I think about death. Every time I marry somebody, I get my husband's skills sharpened up. Every time I dedicate a child, I become a better father. Okay, why? Because I'm reminded of the things that God has trusted me with. Amen? Then we have a dispensation after the end of grace. When the rapture of the church takes place, we have the dispensation of tribulation. 7 years, the Bible says. The worst that the earth has ever experienced. Divided into two sections, 3.5 and 3.5. 42 months each. The first is the unveiling and the revealing of the Antichrist. You see, all we deal with now is the Antichrist spirit in the earth. The Antichrist spirit setting us up. The first is the unveiling and the revealing of the Antichrist. It's the mimicking of Christ, the leader who comes as a prince of peace in a chaotic world that has been interrupted by a rapture. Amen? I mean, think about it. When the rapture of the church takes place, I just showed you a visual rendition of that. Can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, the highways are full of people. The skies are full of airplanes. What if your pilot's a Christian? You're not going to... Listen. Okay. And the plane is flying itself, okay? And it's going to crash, okay? What's going to happen when the rapture takes place and the Christians, the born-again Christians, are removed from the earth? Some of them were driving, some of them were working, some of them were doing all kinds of things. But when the rapture takes place, it don't care about your airplane or your car. When the rapture takes place, it's over with, honey. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1/1500th of a second, it's over with. It's over with. Antichrist comes on the scene, says, hey, I know it's a mess, but what? Peace, peace, don't worry. Got it all under control. Oh, you do you? Okay. Got it all under control, but here's what you got to do. You got to take my mark, okay? They're working on our cash system now. They're working on it real big. You're getting cashless and cashless and more cashless all the time, okay? They're working on it. Just hang on. You'll be without it before long, okay? They'll funnel all the things into one account, you know, and you'll just be a number. That's all you are. You won't put your hands on your money. You're not doing much of that now. Listen, when was the last time you wrote a check? Who writes checks? I just pull out my phone and say, Siri, would you please pay my mortgage? I had to be careful I didn't push it because I already paid this month. Okay? You just do everything electronically. Siri, would you transfer $200 out of my savings account into my checking account, getting low? I'll do so, Wallace. She'll tell me right back. Thank you. I got it set up at my house where all I got to do is say, Alexa, would you? Alexa can do some work for me. Siri can do. They're great gals. They really are. Okay? You can set it all up automatically. What a scary system. Some people say, I ain't doing that. There's a lot you will say you will not do in terms of how you operate your money that you will do. I remember when Food Lion came out with their little debit card machines many, 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 many years ago. And my dad said, well, I can tell you one thing. I bought groceries all my life. I ain't using no card at the grocery store. Okay. Okay. He was going to fly my mama to Gary, Indiana one time. He said, I tell you one thing. I'm not getting no credit card. He didn't have one. He said, I tried to buy an airplane ticket. They won't sell me one. I said, well, use your credit card. He said, I don't have a credit card. I said, well, you have no airplane ticket then. Mama going nowhere unless you borrow somebody's card. She ain't getting off the ground. Because you can't do it. Okay? You can't do it. And so the system is changing right in front of your eyes. He will set up his systems, and one must have the mark on his right hand or in his forehead to buy and to sell. The second is the middle point where the Antichrist is followed by the Jews, and he will set himself up in Jerusalem, and he will make sure that that third temple is established. He sets himself up as God and declares to the world that what? That he is God. And when he does, that's when the Jews turn against him and all hell breaks loose. This is what the Bible refers to the time of Jacob's trouble. It's specifically for Israel. The Lord tells us that if that time was not cut short or come to a close, no flesh would dare survive it. There will be widespread famine, there will be widespread pestilence, there will be widespread death. Then comes the dispensation of the second coming. I love this part. Every time I go to Israel, somebody's asked me many times, what's your favorite place? Always, it's an easy answer for me. I'd rather hang out at the Garden of Gethsemane than any place I know. Up on the Mount of Olives, where the trees on the hillside are just flowing, and you go to the Mount of Olives, and I love to stand at the Mount of Olives and just look across the way and see the eastern wall of the temple. You can just see it. It's just a couple of hundred yards away, and you can see this humongous wall, and it's the city gate. It's the eastern gate of the temple. But it's all been cemented in. It's been covered up because there's a graveyard at the bottom of it that's owned by Muslim people. And they're going to do everything they can to keep Jesus out. So they cemented it in. Okay? And so guess what? Jesus has no problem getting through your cement. He walked through walls before, did he not? Okay? He has no problem getting through your wall. And so I love that area. there. And the Bible is so clear. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4. We're talking about the Mount of Olives. On that day, check this out, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will do what? Will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving to the north and half of the mountain moving to the south. Zechariah goes on to prophesy that it will be a unique day when on that day, there's no night. The Son of God will be the light, and the living water will gush from that amazing split in what is known today as the Kidron Valley. What a beautiful place. What a beautiful reality. And then Jesus Christ comes back, and it's then that he sets his feet down upon the Mount of Olives. And he says, hey, just come on and follow me. And he's going to walk the same path that they made him walk with the cross of Calvary on his back. He's going to walk right back in the same journey and go right back over again through the same path. God is a good God. The dispensation of the second coming. Then there's the dispensation of the millennium. The 1,000-year reign called by scholars as what? The golden age of time. 1,000 years of peace upon the earth. 1,000 years of the rule and the reign of Christ with Christians. Walking with your pet lion to the park, okay? How many of y'all got pets like dogs and cats? How about if you, hey, I'm going to take my lion for a walk. Meow. Okay, what? You're a lion. You're a big lion. Aren't you afraid of lions? Ain't a chance, man. What you call him? Fufu? I don't know what you're going to call him. But the lion shall do what? Lay down with the lamb. Come on. Because what's on the earth? Peace. Peace. 1,000 years. God's Sabbath, I like to call it. Everything else has been in twos, but this one's in 2,000. Adam to Moses, count it up, 2,000 years. Moses to Christ, count it up, 2,000 years. Christ to now, count it up. How much? 2,000 years. Set up in ages. That's 6,000 years of history. Can I just tell you something, friends? We are near. We are near, 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 nearer than we have ever been. You and I must be ready. So that 1,000 years is the Sabbath of the Lord, the dispensation of the millennium. The dispensation of the millennium. After the millennium, the dispensation, oh my goodness, of the great white throne of judgment. That's when all of the unrighteous come out of their graves and have to stand before God at the beam of judgment and give an account for the deeds that are done in their body. That's when the unrighteous and the Christ rejectors are thrown into hell along with the false prophet and the Antichrist. And after that, the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven and eternity begins and time shall be no more. Come on, somebody. Time shall be no more. I know that's a high-speed ride from where we are to the end, but I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what the Bible teaches you as a whole. Ready. You and I must be ready. If our musicians would join us here, we must be ready for the return of Christ. We must be ready to meet the Lord. We must be ready for the rapture. The only way to be ready is to repent of your sins and turn to God. He's the only means of salvation. I like what Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, salvation is found in no other name. For there is no other name under the heavens given to mankind by which we must be saved. In order to go to heaven, you got to have a Savior. His name is Jesus. In order to go, you got to be ready. You got to have experienced Christ, repented of your sins, and made way for him to come into your heart and to be your Savior and to be your Lord. You know, I've often thought there's a tremendous difference between salvation and lordship. Salvation doesn't cost you anything. me say this very clearly to you. Salvation doesn't cost you anything, but lordship will cost you everything. Thank you. Lordship. If he's going to be Lord, guess what? You're not. If he's going to be Lord of your life, you're not going to be Lord of your life. Challenging, challenging thing. You know, in my life, I wonder what it's like to be a pastor. How many of y'all ever wondered that? I wonder what Pastor Wallace's life is like. You know, I wonder what it's like to be a preacher of the gospel. Can I just tell you, we have all of the challenging temptations and issues and difficulties that anybody else on planet Earth has. And so sometimes I'm faced with the opportunity to fail, you know? The opportunity to fail. And I will, and there's been times that I've almost consciously made decisions to do things that I knew were unpleasing to God. And then this happened to me probably a week or 10 days ago. I was presented with an opportunity and I thought, Lord, I think about how easy it would be to do this. Nobody would have known it, okay? It would have been a real positive increase for me to do this. Nobody will know it, okay? But then the Holy Spirit said to me, but I will, okay? I said, hey, where are you at, okay? And I said, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's just be honest. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is able to speak to us. And then sometimes he just, you know, he goes ahead of us. Listen, the Holy Spirit has already put some things in your heart that you've already made decisions about. So you already make some choices that really don't become a choice to you because you've already determined these are places I don't go. These are things I don't do. These are things that I say no to. Okay? And you've already got that. So some things are not an issue to you anymore. But then there's always that opportunity for the enemy to open a way where you can be tested. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Somebody turn to that. That's just hit my spirit. I can't remember what it says, but I know it just hit my spiritual DNA, and there's got to be a reason. Oh, I know what it is. I think I'm right. Check me. If I'm wrong, tell me the pastor's wrong. For there is no temptation that has seized you, but what is common to man. But God, with every temptation, God will do what? He will make a way of escape. Amen. Is that right? Have I got it? With every temptation that comes, God has given you. Listen, I studied that one time. It's a powerful study. The word, the way of escape, the phrase, the way of escape. God has given you, with the temptation, is packaged with it, a way out. You say, man, I just don't know what happened. I just didn't have any other way to go, so I just did it. I'm sorry, Pastor, I did it. No, you had a way. Because with every temptation, God gives you a way out of that temptation. Okay? He won't put anything more on you than you can bear. Okay? So God builds with every situation a way for you to get out of it. And you either appeal to the flesh or you appeal to the spirit. Lord, deliver me from this body of death, Paul said. Deliver me from this body of death. I wonder if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I want to make sure today that today's a day of readiness for me. Today's the day of readiness for me. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, come and stand. Just come. Come and stand here at the front at His holy altar and make sure that you are sold out to the things of God. Sold out to the things of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed at all. Be thankful that there's still a speaking of the Holy Spirit to your heart to position you for readiness. Let's stand together if you could. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. If you need prayer for healing in your body, if you need prayer for anything, maybe you're going through a difficult time, you need somebody to agree with you today in prayer. Listen, God is here. God is here. He's here to minister to you. He's here to touch you. He's here to encourage you. Hallelujah. Come on, if that's you, just make your way. Someone will come and pray with you today. Hallelujah, Lord.
Are you hurting and broken things?
Come on, ministers. Hallelujah.
Jesus is calling.
Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus is calling you. Listen
to the
Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready.
Do you thirst for a dream from the word? Jesus is calling.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Come to the altar.
The Lord, everyone, know that He's Lord and King. Hallelujah. I say He's Lord, He's King. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God a clap offering. Amen. Let's let Him know that we love Him. Oh, in spite of our shortcomings, you love the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. I stand before you humble before God. Right now, I want you to look at your neighbor. We're getting close here. I know some of you got some food waiting on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Some collard greens, chicken, and everything else. Amen. Right now, look at your neighbor and say, grace and peace be done unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Y'all have a nice week. Amen.